$8,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The Pentagon says a Russian fighter jet made a dangerous intercept of a U.S. Navy surveillance plane over the Black Sea on Saturday. That Russian plane flying within 50 feet of the U.S. plane, causing violent turbulence. Amid several days focused on buying things, today's all about giving, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
Today is Giving Tuesday, and people around the world are encouraged to give time, money, and acts of service and kindness. The goal of hashtag Giving Tuesday is to shift the focus to contributing. After the consumer-oriented emphasis of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, people are particularly invited to focus on their own communities. GivingTuesday.org has an online directory that people can use to find local organizations, charities, events, and more.
A Long Island, New York Democrats become the first member of the U.S. House or Senate to demand Senator Al Franken's resignation. Congresswoman Kathleen Rice calling for the Minnesota Democrat to step down after multiple accusations that he groped women. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
ISIS fanatics issuing new holiday warnings with an image of Santa standing in Times Square in New York next to a box of dynamite. The message has the words, "We meet at Christmas in New York soon." Now, the Daily Mail's reporting terrorists have been sharing similar posters of London's Regent Street decked out in Christmas lights and the Paris Eiffel Tower with Christmas markets in the background and similar messages. Images of jihadists and blood have also been superimposed on some of the holiday scenes. Meanwhile, authorities in Australia say they have foiled a terror plot that was targeting New Year's Eve revelers there. Here's more from correspondent Bill Zimfer.
Police in Melbourne have arrested a 20-year-old man they say was planning a mass shooting on New Year's Eve in the city center. The man, who was reportedly born in Australia to Somali parents, was already under police scrutiny when he tried to buy an automatic weapon. Officials say he is an Islamic State sympathizer.
The annual Motor Trend Magazine Automotive Awards announced last night a bit of a surprise in the Car of the Year category as the Alfa Romeo Giulia nabbed the top spot over the Tesla 3 electric vehicle and the Honda Accord. It's the first major win for one of Fiat Chrysler Automobile's premium divisions. And Britain's Prince Harry revealing how he popped the question to American actress Meghan Markle, saying he proposed to her on an ordinary evening at the couple's cottage in London. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! It is Thanksgiving weekend. We can all thank God that we live in an imperfect but wonderful country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Well, a happy Thanksgiving weekend to all of you and to my crusty fellow Frontlines of Freedom squad members. Yeah, I'm thankful for you guys, too. Most of the time.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks like he's full of, well, turkey. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine vet Skip Coriel is here looking tired. What's up, Skip?
Yeah, Colonel, these holidays, they just wear me out. I mean, family and cooking and all that stuff. I mean, I love it. Had a great time, but they just wear me out.
That's right. Finding just the right amount of cranberry sauce to go with just the right amount of turkey, that's take it out of you. I do understand.
The right amount is everything. I just eat everything in sight.
Amen, bro. You got it. Here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Thanksgiving and the Middle East. You may know that there's a big movement in our nation aimed at destroying Israel. One of Israel's responses is to send former Israeli soldiers to our country so that we can talk to them and learn the truth about what's going on in that region. We'll talk with two of those young veterans, Carlos and Shear. Then we're going to meet Scott Stryker, a Navy vet and the CEO of First Command. He'll discuss the new military retirement system. Next, we'll hear from a combat veteran who's running for Congress to replace another combat veteran in Congress who's being appointed to an executive position in our federal government. Andy Coleman will tell the story. And we have a preview for you of a new series we'll be starting next year on leadership. One of our nation's greatest leadership teachers, Dr. Noel Tichy, will join us to give a taste of what's coming up. And, of course, we'll review Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
Earlier this month, the Navy announced it is creating an initial fitness test for prospective sailors on their first day of boot camp at Great Lakes, Illinois. When the new year starts, male recruits must complete a 1.5-mile run within 16 minutes and 10 seconds, and female recruits must complete the same run within 18 minutes, 7 seconds. If recruits can't pass the test, they won't move on to training.
Whoa, wait. We've been told by the Pentagon that men and women are the same. That's why women are now in close combat units. So all requirements should be the same for both men and women, right? So why do women get 2 more minutes to run 1.5 miles? We all know the answer. Men and women are not the same.
Really?
Really, Skip. Scout's honor.
I didn't get the memo.
A Marine Corps howitzer mission to target ISIS militants in Iraq and Syria has seen great success against the enemy and has reinvigorated the artillery community, so says the commanding officer of 2nd Marine Division. Major General John Love said 1st Battalion 10th Marines, which deployed with M777 155mm howitzers from Camp Lejeune in late September, has distinguished itself in the ground fight against ISIS. The general said, quote, "We think that battery has killed more ISIS than anybody else out there right now, including special operations forces," end quote. Defense officials have spoken highly of the Marine Artillery Detachment in Syria that provided support to local forces as they assaulted Raqqa. It is confirmed that Marines had fired so many artillery rounds in rapid succession that they burned out the barrels of two M777 howitzers, a far from easy feat.
The reason we have a military is to kill people and break things. It sounds like our Marines are doing their job and doing it well.
With an Air Force pilot shortage that has hit 2,000 and commercial airlines in a hiring boom, service leaders are brainstorming ways to address a deepening crisis, eyeing improved financial incentives and a host of administrative actions to improve quality of life for aviators and their families. For the long term, the Air Force recognizes it has to widen its pilot training pipeline by 25% to address stiffening competition for pilots nationwide. Navy and Marine Corps are also taking special steps to retain more experienced pilots, but so far, those service branches haven't seen the same exodus of mid-career pilots, particularly its fighter aircraft community. Our Air Force needed 3,781 active-duty fighter pilots and had fewer than 2,700. Its fighter pilot shortage grew by 200 career officers in the past year alone. Brigadier General Michael Kocheski, director of the Air Force Aircrew Crisis Task Force, which was established earlier this year to recommend actions to address aircrew shortages across active duty, guard, and reserve forces, said, quote, "Within our pilot crisis, we have multiple crises. We are concerned that the fighter pilot shortage is the canary in the coal mine. We're worried about a mobility pilot shortage with the airline hiring and the draw it has," end quote. Shortage of instructor pilots is another concern. Aviation community managers are used to seeing pilot retention issues rise and fall based on various factors, including hires by airline, pace of military operations, or the relative pull of aviation bonuses. But current pilot shortages for the Air Force are acute and expected to grow.
Our nation's economy is getting better. That will cause a greater demand for commercial air travel, thus a need for more pilots. I don't have any good ideas, but I sure hope they come up with something.
If a conflict between North Korea and the U.S. suddenly broke out, U.S. troops in South Korea would be outnumbered and undersupplied. This was the warning of Lieutenant General Jan-Mark Juas, the former deputy commander of U.S. forces in Korea. The general said, quote, "The 28,500 U.S. Armed Forces personnel in South Korea are vastly outnumbered by North Korean forces, as well as South Korean forces, that will continue to conduct the overwhelming majority of the fighting. Unlike every conflict since the last Korean War, we will not be able to build up our forces prior to the start of hostilities," end quote. It is estimated North Korea has roughly 1.2 million troops. From January 2012 to December 2014, the general was intimately involved in formulating plans to counter a North Korean attack on South Korea. That planning reportedly showed that it would take days to months for the necessary U.S. reinforcements, supplies, and equipment to reach the Korean Peninsula. And once the troops finally arrive, well, they may find that their bases are subject to attack by conventional or chemical weapons, which will further delay their entry into the war. The general also highlighted the risk a conflict would pose to both South Korean and American civilians living in the region. He said it would take days to eliminate North Korean artillery, rockets, and missiles that threaten the South Korean capital of Seoul, which is home to 25 million people. Meanwhile, an enormous casualty and evacuee crisis will develop and include over 100,000 non-combatant Americans, many of whom will turn to U.S. forces to get them off the peninsula. The general also warned that the protection of South Korean civilians and evacuation of U.S. civilians would be significantly complicated by the expected use of nuclear and chemical weapons by Kim Jong-un's regime. Finally, the general emphasized any military action against North Korea by the United States, no matter how limited, would likely spark a full-scale war and be unlikely to completely eliminate North Korea's nuclear capabilities.
I don't doubt what the good general says, but one must also look at the alternative. Would it be better to do nothing and hope that Kim won't send a nuclear missile against South Korea or Japanese or U.S. cities? And do you think China really wants nuclear explosions near their nation? China can control North Korea. Yes, this is risky, but stopping North Korea is now the only valid option. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with two Israeli Defense Force soldiers. Eddie's troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging in to www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember, our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, which is the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and the fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. On this Thanksgiving weekend, it's very appropriate that we all be, well, thankful. And at the risk of sounding politically incorrect, it's to God that we are thankful. As imperfect as our nation is, and as quickly as we're drifting away from the God-centered culture that made our nation great, we're still greatly blessed. Speaking of blessings, there's another one that we're involved in that may well affect the future of the civilized world as we know it. Two of our official Middle Eastern allies, who officially don't like each other, are now working with us and each other to get the focus on the real evil in the region, Iran. Israelis talk about when, not if, they'll fight Hezbollah again. Since the last war in 2006, they've reinforced their 50-mile border with Lebanon, but that'll make very little difference when war comes. Both sides are geared for an airborne attack. Israel says they're ready to bomb Lebanon back to the Stone Age. Hezbollah is said to have increased its missile stocks tenfold. But there's been a crucial change since 2006, one that may far outweigh all the upgrades. As the war against ISIS winds down, older fault lines are resurfacing, along with some new alliances. Many signs point to a deepening understanding, encouraged by the U.S., between Israel and an Islamic kingdom that it doesn't even have diplomatic relations with, Saudi Arabia. The two countries share a common enemy in Iran. They both urge action against the Iranian-backed Hezbollah and are increasingly taking action themselves, fueling the turbulence that has rocked oil markets. And they're both central to the new American strategy for the Middle East, outlined, if not yet detailed, by President Trump. Determination to roll back Iranian power unites the unlikely trio: Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's veteran premier, Mohammed bin Salman, the ambitious young prince who's seized the reins in Saudi Arabia and is casting aside its traditional caution, and our president. They all express dismay at the victory of Iran's ally Bashar al-Assad in Syria and the growing clout across the region that Iran enjoys as a result. For years, Assad must go has been the American and Saudi policy. Instead, he's largely defeated the rebels they supported. Looking for another arena to push back, the triumvirate is zeroing in on Lebanon and its dominant party, which all three consider a terrorist group, Hezbollah. Lebanon's Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, has been governing in coalition with Hezbollah. Earlier this month, he flew to Riyadh and unexpectedly quit, saying his life was in danger. This is widely seen as a Saudi-orchestrated move. Then Netanyahu issued a statement urging the world to wake up to Iranian aggression and Harari's departure as an example of Iran's menacing influence. Neither country acknowledges any direct contact, which would be especially damaging to Saudi Arabia, as the guardians of Islam's holiest sites, they claim leadership in a Muslim world where Israel isn't very popular. While Saudi Arabia can't attack Lebanon, Israel can. But that doesn't mean it wants to, at least for now. Quote, "We may have to confront Hezbollah sooner or later," said an Israeli official, "but everybody wants to put off this confrontation." Israel has conducted multiple airstrikes in Syria, where Hezbollah is fighting alongside Assad, Russia, and Iran, targeting convoys said to be carrying weapons to Lebanon. That's one reason the Jewish state is unhappy with the Assad victory in Syria. It opens up a land corridor that could make such deliveries routine. Despite Israeli strikes, Hezbollah has not retaliated. Their militia is drained by the fight in Syria, focused on consolidating its gains there, and has no resources for another war. While Iran will ensure they survive, they'll lose money, people, and infrastructure. Israeli officials used Harari's resignation to ratchet up the pressure. Their intelligence minister called it a turning point for the Middle East. Quote, "Now is the time to press and isolate Hezbollah until it will be weakened and eventually disarmed," he said. It's not clear what role Washington is playing in this. Days before that bombshell, Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, who's also been a confidant to Israeli leaders, was in Saudi Arabia. He reportedly talked with Prince Mohammed. Trump has said a peace deal with the Palestinians would involve bringing Israel and Islamic countries such as Saudi Arabia together. Congress last month approved new sanctions against Hezbollah, and lawmakers are already drafting another round. Our Treasury Secretary was in Saudi Arabia and in Israel last month, stressing the need to disrupt Hezbollah's financiers. A decision is looming there for us. What to do with American forces now that ISIS is defeated? It's expected that a military presence will remain to stamp out the last jihadists and to guard against their return. So how many troops and for how long? And will they be strictly focused on ISIS or available for other missions that would advance the anti-Iranian cause? Quote, the U.S. still has no policy on Syria, an Israeli lawmaker said. Absent that, it's Israel versus Iran, he said. And the possibility of an unintended war with Hezbollah increases. So things are changing in the Middle East, hopefully for the better. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this time, Roland?
When Afghan pilots begin training on Black Hawk helicopters at Fort Rucker, Alabama, the U.S. military is going to have two concerns. Number one, can they fly? And number two, that they don't fly the coop. That's because some 13% of Afghan military personnel training in the United States last year went AWOL. According to a report from the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, that's roughly double an already alarming historical desertion record that has seen some 152 Afghanistan trainees, or about 6% of all those who were trained in the United States since 2005, go AWOL while training here. Anthony Kordsman, an Afghanistan expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said that many, if not most, Afghans are only signing up to become military police officers because they're simply the only source of jobs available. Improper payment, family obligations, and more casualties can contribute to desertion. However, police do desert at a lower rate than the military, primarily because they're less distant from home. Afghans made up almost half of the 320 total foreign military trainees who went absent without leave from the U.S. training since 2005. The extent of Afghanistan desertions first became public in 2010, when Fox News reported on 17 Afghans who went missing from a U.S. Air Force base. Of the 152 AWOL Afghans, 13 are still at large. 70 of them fled the United States, 39 have gained legal status here in the United States, and 27 have been arrested. Afghan soldiers who have gone missing in the U.S. are considered high risk by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Counterterrorism Unit because they came into the country with more limited vetting than any other visitors, and they are all military-trained individuals of fighting age. The AWOL problem is one of many that have dogged the U.S. effort to make the Afghan military capable of defending itself. And as of July, the U.S. has spent $68 billion to train and equip the Afghan Army, Air Force, Commandos, and other security forces. You know, the big question in my mind, is it time to come up with a new strategy for Afghanistan? I'll let you be the judge. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You're an amazing guy and a great friend. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with two Israeli soldiers. Then, for all members of the active and retired military, we'll discuss the military's new retirement system. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease. As we enter the holiday season and prepare to spend time with family and friends, we at Spartan Nash wish you all the best.
We know that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during the holidays. Through our MDV Military Division, Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. military commissaries around the world. It's our privilege to deliver a slice of home to our heroes.
Wherever you spend the holidays this year, we at Spartan Nash MDV thank you for your service and send you our best wishes.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Look, I would never vote against something because of some disagreement I have with an individual, nor would I vote for something solely because I like someone. And let me say this, I think 98% of the senators here are in the same boat.
Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee talking earlier today about his disagreements he's had in the past with President Trump and what bearing they will play on a GOP tax plan bill and if he will be voting for that bill. Corker is one of the 6 to 8 members that the president will be courting today. The full Senate does hope to have a vote on this bill later this week. Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi say they will not attend a meeting at the White House today after President Trump slammed them in a tweet. The Democratic leaders of the House and Senate did put out a statement saying they will continue to work with members of Congress and Senate on the issue. Arby's Restaurant Group has reached an agreement to acquire Buffalo Wild Wings for $2.9 billion. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100andchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet two members of the Israeli Defense Force. They're visiting in America. They've both served on active duty and are now in the reserves. Their escort is Avi Yudkowsky from Stand With Us. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Avi.
Hi. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Avi, tell us about Stand With Us. What is the group? What do they do?
Stand With Us is a international nonprofit organization that focuses on Israel education. We do programs. We have materials. We do events. We do conferences. All the intention of, you know, reaching out to campuses and communities everywhere to teach them the truth about the state of Israel and also to help combat anti-Semitism. And this, you know, tour where we, you know, we take these soldiers and we help them tell their stories started when, you know, soldiers started realizing that there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of lies that were being told about the IDF and about the state of Israel. And so they...
Hey, Avi, they're still being told. I hear them all the time.
So
keep going.
They are. And so they approached Stand With Us and asked us to help, and that was 9 years ago. And since then, every year, we bring these soldiers on tour. We bring different soldiers every single year so that the people can hear all these different stories about the truth, about what it's really like for real Israeli soldiers and the real things that the IDF actually does.
That sounds great. Thank you, Avi. The first person we're going to interview, the first Israeli soldier we're going to talk to, is Carlos. He was born in a Jewish community in Bogota, Colombia. The security situation in Colombia forced the family to move to Miami during high school. However, he returned to Colombia to complete his last high school year with his friends. Upon graduating, Carlos decided to immigrate to Israel and joined the Israeli Defense Forces Paratroopers Brigade. Carlos studied film at Tel Aviv University, and after finishing his studies, he worked and traveled in Latin America and Eastern Asia. He lives now in Tel Aviv. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Carlos.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Carlos, it's a pleasure joining you. And since I'm a paratrooper, too, or was in the U.S. Army, we jump right down through the skies of blue, right?
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for your service.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Carlos, one of the things that annoys me, and I'm sure it does you, is the horrible reputation the IDF has with a lot of people in the mainstream media, and especially in the UN, among other places. I know many IDF soldiers and veterans, and I find them to be among the most ethical military forces in the world. Will you talk a bit about the ethics of that the IDF teaches you and that you had to practice while you're on active duty and you would have to practice again if you're called up as a reservist? Can you do that for me, please?
Yeah, of course. So you have very, very specific values and laws that every soldier learns during their basic training. If it's using your gun only in certain situations, caring for human life, doing everything you can to protect civilians. And all of these values, you learn them and you actually practice them. I can tell you as a personal example, in one of the operations in Gaza, we went inside and we actually found civilians in most of the houses in what was a military target. So the IDF did everything, obviously, not to hurt any civilian and actually protect the civilians from the terrorist group Hamas.
So you have been in combat yourself, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Has anybody who was shooting at you ever been in a uniform like is required by international law?
So we did see some Hamas guys using some pieces of uniform, like a headband. But we also experienced, and I have other soldiers that saw kids, like young adults with weapons, women who would hide the explosives under their dress. And so the difference between terrorists and civilians was really hard to see.
It is indeed, and is against all international law for a combatant not to be dressed in a way that makes them a clear combatant and to hide behind civilians or to use civilians or hospitals or schools.
Yeah, so actually during my operation also they used ambulances. So they used Red Cross ambulances to transport terrorists. That's another use of civilian things for terrorism.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Israeli Defense Force reservist Carlos. So you have been there. You've seen it. You've done it. In your experience, every good group has got a few jerks in it. So I'm sure the IDF is in the same category. But have you ever personally experienced anybody from the IDF intentionally targeting civilians and innocent people, hospitals, that sort of thing? In your personal experience, have you ever seen that?
No, of course not. Of course not. I've seen from my commanders and everybody in my unit, actually, the exact opposite, doing everything they can to protect civilians. And even going even further, my commander in the Gaza operation, to every group of civilians we found, he told them in Arabic what was the situation, why were we targeting their house. So everything is done to not to involve civilians in the fighting.
But the other guys don't do that, do they? Have you seen them target civilians and hospitals and noncombatants?
Yeah, of course. They're doing like a double crime. They're hiding behind their civilians. They use their civilians to protect their terror goals. So if it is putting missiles and weapons in civilian homes or using civilians as human shields, I personally saw this, the use of human shields. And on the other hand, they're targeting civilian centers in Israel with rockets and mortars. So, yeah, that's exactly what they want, to hurt civilians.
Okay. We've got a couple of minutes left, Carlos. Talk to us about your life since you got out of the military. What have you done since you got out of active duty?
Okay. So I have traveled a while. I went back to Colombia to work. I have worked in other countries such as Costa Rica and Hong Kong. And then I went back to study. I was living in Tel Aviv. I studied film. I worked in many other jobs during my studies. And now I'm actually a counselor for students like me, like new immigrant students that came to Israel from other countries.
Okay. And you live in Tel Aviv. Are you married?
No. Okay.
So you're a young man out starting his life post-military.
I would say so. I'm not so young anymore, but I do feel that I'm young.
Well, I'm in my 70s, so you're just a kid.
Yeah.
Carlos, when you're at home in Israel, it's very much like any other civilized country. Matter of fact, I was in Israel about 3 years ago right now. It's like being in America or England or France. It's a lovely civilized country with people who basically like each other, isn't it?
That's the thing that we really want to show the world, that the basic living in Israel is the living of coexistence and of nice people and of fun and a very diverse society living in peace. We obviously do have problems with terrorism, but the day-to-day is coexistence.
It is indeed, and I have great respect for the nation of Israel and great respect for members of the IDF because I've been there, I've watched them, I've seen them. I'm not going by what somebody else said. And it's a beautiful country, and it's a prosperous country. And if I ever decided I wanted to live in the Middle East, that's the only place I wouldn't even remotely consider living anywhere else. I can't imagine why anybody would. Carlos, we've got just a short time. Give us a final thought you'd like our listeners to remember about our talk.
What I think is, as you said, don't believe everything you see. If you have the chance, come to Israel. If you have the chance, meet Israelis, meet people who are in the army. Ask questions, be critical, and then I think people will actually know the truth of what's happening there.
Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate that. There's more to discuss about the Israeli Defense Force, folks, and Carlos and Scheer will be staying with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops do push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. Hey, that's how many I do. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Mike Hewitt here with a minute of common sense. What if I told you that punishing a successful company with taxation was a fool's errand? Because you know what? We need the jobs, and it's us that pay those burdensome taxes. Yep, consider the logic. Classism seeks to heap the misery on businesses. That'll fix their wagons. Except for that little problem we often refer to as math. Yeah, it's just math. If a company is at the very least breaking even, guess who pays the burdensome and punishing tax? You guessed it. Whoever purchases that company's services or products. That'd be you and me. Nice job. Take it from the top. Punish the company. Make them uncompetitive in the global market while we pay the crazy tax. That's as absent of common sense as the multiple layers of tax we're already unwittingly paying as citizens, not to mention the death tax. What would our founders say? For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Carlos and Shear from the Israeli Defense Force. Shear, who's 26, grew up in Gush Katif, a settlement in Gaza, until the disengagement in 2005. Today she lives in the southern Israeli village of Bir Gamin, and she studies law at the College of Management Law School. She served in the Israeli Defense Force as a first lieutenant in the ground forces as a war room operator on the northern border with Gaza, where she continues as a reservist. Shear took part in two operations against Hamas in Gaza as an officer, Pillar of Defense in 2012 and Protective Edge in 2014. She recently returned from Africa, where she was volunteering with children as a part of the Coleman Student Union delegation. For the past 2 years, she's worked as an administrative legal director at the Turma Center, the Legal Center for Promotion of Equality, representing victims of discrimination and various biases. So, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Shear.
Hi, very nice to be here. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. I didn't ask Carlos, but everyone in Israel has to serve in the IDF at some point.
Yeah, the service in Israel is mandatory for boys, for women, and for men. You have 3 years for men that are mandatory, and for women, 3 years.
Okay, and that is for Jews. It's not for non-Jews. Is that correct?
Yeah, right, exactly, for Jews. But Christian and Muslims and Bedouins also serve in the army. They can volunteer, and they are volunteering.
Yes, when I was over there last, I met a number of them that had volunteered to serve. Now, women serve a lot of places. I met a lot of women in the IDF when I was there 2.5-3 years ago. But they don't serve in every role. I don't think they serve in the infantry, do they?
No, they don't serve in every role, but you have women that are warriors, you have women that are pilots, and we have a lot of positions for women also, but because of security measures, security aspects, women usually don't go to Gaza, inside Gaza, for example, so that's why they can't be like Carlos, part of the paratroopers, for example. So we can be warriors, but in a specific units and in specific areas.
But women do serve. They serve their 2 years on active duty, just as you did. They are in combat. It's just that there are certain close combat units they're not involved in, as I understand it.
Yeah, you can be a pilot. You can be a doctor. You can be a warrior in the Egypt border. You can do a lot of things as a woman inside of the army. I think that the skies are the limit because the IDF is like a small world. You have everything inside of the IDF, so you have many positions you can be in.
And it works, too, doesn't it?
Yeah. My position was amazing. I think my job was amazing. I was the closest I could to the Gaza Strip, which I once called home, and I really wanted to be as close as I can to protecting the place that I once called home. So for me, it was amazing. It was an amazing opportunity, a lot of responsibility, and it really matured me as a person.
Were you ever expected to do anything that would involve attacking non-combatants or violating the rules of war? Were you ever expected to do anything like that?
No, no, not at all. And most of the time we would stop operations and we would stop things that were already planned because we saw children next to the area or because we saw civilians. So every time we've seen something like that, even if you prepared for an operation, inside Gaza or outside Gaza, you can prepare for a month, and then you just see a kid or you see a civilian, and everything stops. So I was never expected to do so, not at all. And we have a lot of very strict rules. I mean, if you've heard Carlos, he didn't tell you about, but he, one time he was charged because he shot without a permission just in the air when there was a riot next to the fences. So he just shot in the air, and they took his gun, and he was charged for that. So when you do something that is wrong in the IDF, they don't go quietly on that. And the streets are very, very rude, very, very hard. And just like Carlos says, you can't do that, and you're not expected to do that. And if you do that, you'll get punished.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing serving in the Israeli Defense Force with Shear. So talk a little bit more about what you did on active duty, and then talk about your reserve responsibilities.
Yeah, I was a war room operation in the northern border of Gaza. I served in a base that was 500 miles from the northern border of Gaza, from the fence. My job was to coordinate and manage various ground forces on the ground, of course, while war operations or events. So if, for example, Carlos was inside Gaza battling for us, we were outside of the Gaza Strip in the war room, seeing all of the soldiers on screen, connecting with them, and just seeing the bigger picture. So we controlled everything that they did, and whatever they needed, we would give it to them. If they need more air forces, if they need more supplies, tanks, aid, rescue, whatever they needed. We saw the bigger picture, and we were just controlling everything from afar.
In the American Army, we'd call that the Tactical Operations Center, or TOC. And I served in one, too, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's an amazing job, isn't it? Yes, it's an incredibly important one.
Yeah.
And that's what you did on active duty. That's what you're still doing now as a reservist?
Yes, I'm still doing that on the same base, in the same area, in the northern border of Gaza, just in the same place.
Talk about now what you're doing now that you're off active duty. You have been reaching out, helping people who have been discriminated against, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a law student right now, and I'm currently working on my master's. So while I'm doing that, I work as a manager in a legal administration and also project manager at Tmoa Center, which is Israeli Anti-Discrimination Legal Center. What we do is we represent everyone, anyone, any religious that felt discriminated in Israel. So you come to our center and we represent them for free. And I think we're doing a great job, and I really enjoy this part. And that's what I do on my daily life, but I'm still a student.
You know, that sounds like the kind of thing that would make you very proud to be a citizen in your country, that you are able to defend your country, you're able to play a full role there, and you're able to help others because that's what you want to do. I'm sure if you wanted to be a builder or own a store or something, you could do that. But you have a heart for helping people, right?
Yeah, totally. And I'm very blessed to have all the opportunities that I have, because even the delegation for Africa, for example, it was a rare experience to have. And I could have that only because I was studying in the College of Management in Rishon LeZion. So they made this amazing possibility an option, you know, a possibility. So, yeah, I'm very blessed to have all these things that's just going on in my life.
Well, it is a blessing when you can be doing good things that you enjoy and you're making enough money to keep body and soul together, and life is good.
Yeah.
It is indeed. You talk about helping people in other countries. I was born and raised in California. I don't live there now. But the only country in the world that provided any assistance to the California wildfires was Israel. They help a lot of people, don't they?
Yeah, you probably know, like, we are the first one to help if anyone is needed. You probably heard about the delegation of the rescue unit of Israel that were going to Mexico to help there. And just Israel is the first one to have boots on the ground when you need help in any place in the world. So, yeah, we're very proud of that.
Shear, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to a country that is America's only reliable ally, Israel. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. You're our big brother.
Carlos, I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I thank the two of you for your service to your nation, and I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you. Thank you for all of the support. Thank you for your service, and we'll meet you soon.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. A member of the West Virginia National Guard has been recognized for saving the lives of more than 14 people during one night of the state's historic flooding last year. WOAY-TV reports that Sergeant Zachary Mills received the Division of Natural Resources Meritorious Service Medal on September 22nd. National Resources Lieutenant Dennis Fiesel said that Mills and his partner, Natural Resources Sergeant Chris Lester, were called out on June 23, 2016, to White Sulphur Springs as hundreds of people were stranded at their homes in one of the most heavily impacted areas in West Virginia. Mills said he was just doing his job as a part of the Swiftwater Rescue Team. He's been with the West Virginia National Guard for 12 years, including deployments to Iraq and Kuwait. You know, it's true of most heroes. They feel they were just doing their jobs. So stand tall, Sergeant Mills. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Navy vet Scott Spiker, the CEO of First Command. Then we'll meet a combat veteran running for Congress in Oklahoma. And Dr. Noel Tichy will tease us with a look at his approach to leadership. He'll be starting a series on that on this show next year. Naturally, we'll cover Service Academy football. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, go somewhere and run wind sprints through the snow if necessary. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Look, I would never vote against something because of some disagreement I have with an individual, nor would I vote for something solely because I like someone. And let me say this, I think 98% of the senators here are in the same boat.
Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee talking earlier today about his disagreements he's had in the past with President Trump and what bearing they will play on a GOP tax plan bill and if he will be voting for that bill. Corker is one of the 6 to 8 members that the president will be courting today. The full Senate does hope to have a vote on this bill later this week. Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi say they will not attend a meeting at the White House today after President Trump slammed them in a tweet. The Democratic leaders of the House and Senate did put out a statement saying they will continue to work with members of Congress and Senate on the issue. Arby's Restaurant Group has reached an agreement to acquire Buffalo Wild Wings for $2.9 billion. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Hey, it's Brandon. For years, I couldn't get to sleep, and then I found MyPillow, and my sleep trouble went away. MyPillow works, and if you care about getting a good night's sleep, you'll get one today. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-8175 and ask for the radio listener special. Use promo code USA, and you will now get 50% off of two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. Call 800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code USA to get this unbelievable offer. Don't lose another night of